In this culture, patience is a lost virtue. We live in the age of the now, the immediate, the age of the internet and microwave cooking. The idea of waiting for something that you want or even need is absolutely foreign to many. But God calls us to practice patience as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim helps us to see the importance of patience in our lives and in our faith. The scripture reminds us to be sure of this fact. God does not forget his promise. What he said, he will do. So sit back and listen as Pastor Jim brings us the sermon, Have Patience.
James 5, beginning in the 7th verse. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. An example of suffering and patience, brothers, take prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Oh, Father, we do ask that you would speak through me this morning for your glory's sake, that you would speak to those that you have gathered, to those who would hear it over whatever medium you would choose, Lord, that they would honor you, that this message would honor you. I ask as you speak through me, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move upon the hearers and that you be glorified and that your glory be known. It's in the name of Christ Jesus that I pray. There are three main commands that I see in this text that are direct commands, direct orders to us that James is giving. But remember, James is just the writer, that God is the author. Those three that I see here, I'll just mention them now. First one is be patient. We see that in the 7th verse. In the 8th verse, we see establish your hearts. We'll talk about that. And then the 9th verse, we see do not grumble. So we see these three commands mixed into these few verses. But also mixed in with them are three illustrations. We see the illustration of the farmer. We see the illustration of the prophets. And we see the illustration of Job. Clearly, James is working to make a point to you and I, so that you and I would hear and know what it is that the Lord has for us in these verses. It starts out, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. As Baptists, we believe the coming of the Lord, right? As Christians of any denomination, of any flavor, of any location, we should believe in the coming of the Lord, correct? That is vital teaching in the Scripture. Every author, every writer of the New Testament speaks of the coming of the Lord. His coming is imminent. We know it's going to happen. There are many who I talk to that don't believe it, though. I talk to a number of people who just don't believe that it's going to happen. And I heard a response this week. I don't know that that's what the response was to, but it was to someone not believing something. And it was perfect. Just because you and I don't believe something doesn't make it true or not true. Truth is truth and lie is lie. However, people say, I don't believe it because it hasn't happened yet. It's been 2,000 years. And this person I heard, I think it was on the radio, asked them a question about death. Do you believe in death? Well, they said, well, of course. You believe in death and it hasn't happened to you yet. Why can't you believe in the coming of the Lord? Amen, right? Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to. Rest assured, it should bring both joy and fear to us that he is returning. He is coming back. And James makes that point very clear here. He says, be patient, therefore. And he says, be patient for a reason. We have a tendency, if we aren't seeing something happen, that we begin to think, well, maybe it's not going to. We may not say that in our mouth, but we think it in our minds and our hearts. We begin to doubt the need. Think of a watchman, a person standing guard. My adopted father was an MP, and he put a lot of young men out on guard duty. And as they would be standing guard duty, hours they would do guard duty. For hours they would be watching. In the middle of the night, they'd be standing guard or something. The very time that is most dangerous for them standing guard is when they are not prepared. After standing guard for many, many times, a young soldier could become lackadaisical about it. It's just guard duty. And that's when the attack can come. That's when somebody can overcome them because they aren't expecting it. We see that story that Jesus gives us in Matthew about the owner of the home, about the strong man. He says that if he's watching, the thief can't come in and rob and steal him. But when he is not paying attention, when he is asleep, that's when the thief comes to rob. And we need to stay awake. We need to be vigilant, knowing that the Lord's return is imminent. We know that it is coming. And in this, James tells us to be steadfast in our patience. In fact, this message of steadfastness, staying the course, right? That's what steadfastness, staying the course. This message of steadfastness is something that James brings out over and over through this book, through this letter. James 1, 3 and 4 says, "If you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James 1, 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." James 1:25. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." We see this idea of steadfastness, staying the course throughout this book. It goes on into the second chapter, even in this fifth chapter, the 11th verse that we have today. He says, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." Now, folks, it's hard sometimes to stay the course, isn't it? It is hard to stay on that same track because life gets in the way. We have so many things going on all around us. We have jobs, we have family, we have this going on, that going on, school, whatever it is. We have all these things going on around us, and all of them are seeking our attention. All of them are pulling us in one way or another that is not the direction that God would have us to go. And it's so easy to get off the track without even realizing it. Remember the path and the gate that leads to life? What are they? They're narrow, right? They're narrow. But the path and the gate that leads to destruction are wide. And it's easy to get on that wide path because it is easier. The narrow path is difficult. So steadfastness falls away. We become impatient. Patience is important, isn't it? Of course, none of you have a problem with patience like I do. None of you have ever gotten in line at the store, picked out the line that was the shortest, and then watched as somebody three people longer than you is already at the register and you're still standing there. You've never noticed those things, right? Because you have patience, it doesn't matter. I might have noticed them myself. None of you have ever driven around Atlanta or Dallas or Oklahoma City and been honked at and waved at with a single, never mind. None of you have ever received any of those things, right? Because we are patient and those around us are patient. Okay, maybe we're liars too, I don't know. Patience is hard. In this world where we order so many things online, we expect to get those things in how many days? One or two. We think those things out of here. You know, we can't get a letter from Manhattan to St. George in 2 days, but we expect to get a package coming from somewhere in 1 or 2 days. And we're watching. We're impatient. This lack of patience consumes us sometimes, especially when it comes to doing what is right as a Christian. The reason some don't believe in God's return and the return of Jesus Christ is because they've lost patience. They are mocked. They are finding that the world is having worldly fun, entertainment. And here they're trying to be steadfast. They're trying to stay the course. And they're missing out. And so the lack of patience gives way to sin. Part of what it means for us to be patient in this, in fact, the original word, I'll just go there real fast. The original word means long-tempered, means waiting well, is what the original word in the Greek means. But we aren't long-tempered. We want it now. We want instant gratification. And since the Lord is not giving us instant gratification, what we do is we jump on the bandwagon of the world, on the wide path that is filled with instant gratification that is temporal, and it leads us away from God. He gives this example, this first example here. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, farmers then in Israel, farmers now, same thing, right? farmer does what? Farmers don't raise herds of cattle. You know, that's a rancher. Farmers put seed in the ground, seed that will produce many times more than what it is, and they wait for it to come up and to produce. In Israel, in that area of the world, they do their planting in October, November, and that planting comes at the time of the early rains. They call these the early rains. They get their seed in the ground, and the early rains come, and these early rains allow the seed to germinate, and then it begins to grow. From November until April, May, March, April, May, there's sporadic rains. A little rain here, a little rain there. Some years more, some years less. Kind of like us, right? But then comes the latter rains. And those latter rains, those late rains, are to finish off the crop so that it can finish maturing so that the greatest yield can come. But what happens to the farmer who is impatient and he puts his seed in the ground and then each day he goes out and digs it up to look at it to see what it's doing? What's going to happen? It's not going to grow. It doesn't even have to be every day. What if he does it once a week, once a month even? He digs up his seed to see what it's doing. By the time harvest comes, he won't have one, will he? The farmer has to be patient. And he has to wait through those rains. Wait for the finishing rain, the late rains. And then he receives his crop. The farmer who does not have patience will be very hungry. And he probably won't live very long. Because he will not have what he needs to be sustained. So he waits through the rains. And this isn't just something that is from the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. This isn't just something from that time frame. We can go back to the Old Testament, to Joel 2, verse 23. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down on you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. This was after the time of drought. God has again given them the early and the latter rains, just like before. So this is not a new thought. This farmer has to be patient. Now, as a farmer, he has a lot of things that can come and hurt his crop, doesn't he? There are things that will come. There are hardships that have to be endured, aren't there? Have you ever known a farmer that had to replant because of some sort of hardship? I have. Or had to change crops because the season to replant was too late, so he had to change to another crop so they could put a crop in and produce a harvest. I've known farmers who have had to do that. There are hardships that come in life as we are living for God. There are things that come along that drag us away. Whenever I think about this, I always think of Noah. How many rainstorms had the earth known before God flooded it? None. It had never rained. So God has Noah building an ark, a boat, for something he's never seen before that's completely new and foreign to him. And the scriptures say that the people went on doing as they were doing. He goes on to say that they mocked him. They had never seen it either. Rain? What's that? Flood the earth? How's that happen? But Noah was steadfast. He stayed the course. Anyone know how long it took Noah to build the ark? Roughly? It was over 100 years that it took him to build it. Now think how quickly we fall off the course, brothers and sisters. How quickly do we get tired of something, especially if we're being mocked? He stayed the course for over 100 years because God said so. It wasn't anything that he had seen. It wasn't anything that he knew. He stayed the course because God said so. Has God told us to do anything and stay the course of anything? Probably quite a few things, hasn't he? Do we stay the course or do we let this world and the things of this world pull us away? How many have walked away from the faith for this worldly wisdom? Some of the surveys they do anymore, it amazes me. How many people think that truth is relative? I mean, this is the wisdom of the world. How many people do what they think is right in their eyes and not what the Word says is right in God's eyes? They've lost patience. And what they've really done is they've taken their face off of return of the Lord. When you mow or disc or plow a field, do you ever go by a field It's not as often anymore because now they got all these GPS stuff in there. But you go by a field, and it looks like somebody was drinking when they were plowing or mowing or whatever it is because they're all over the place. That's a lack of focus. I was taught as a young boy that when I was mowing a large area, that I pick something at the other end of that field, and I go straight to that. When I start paying attention to everything going on around me, I fall off that trail, and I go back and forth. Same thing went. I learned to drive a tractor and disc a field when I was 8 years old. You look at the other end. Of course, I went right through the other end once, but that's beside the point. You look at the other end, and you get a straight line. We need to look or plant our face to Christ in His return. When that is what we're looking at, all the things of this world don't matter as much. They aren't as clear to us. They aren't as alluring to us. And we can stay steadfast. But then hard times come. And I tell you, hard times, God uses them to mature us, to grow us, to strengthen us, to draw us closer to Him so that we see Him better. But the devil uses them to draw us away. The world uses them to draw us away. We need to stay focused.
What a beautiful picture that is. Keeping your eyes on the end keeps your life straight as we wait for the Lord's return. And in this day, I can't think of anything we need more. We've been telling you about Dr. Paul E. Barkey's devotions for some time now, and we thought it would be a good idea to read just a little bit for you. So here with a special message is Pastor Jim.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Jim. Wanted to take a few minutes just to share some things with you, to visit with you for a second here. To start with, wanted to give us a little background. We began radio ministry in March of this year. We started with a local radio station in Manhattan, Kansas. We figured that was the whole or the entirety of our radio ministry. Within a month, we were approached and it was requested that we add some stations. So after prayer, we decided to go into four additional cities, both AM and FM. Those cities are Shreveport, Kansas City, Omaha, and Chattanooga. As we have gone into those, we have found this to be quite a blessing. You know, like I said, we've never pursued radio ministry. We have been content to serve in our small local churches here in Northeast Kansas. But it has always been our great desire for people to hear truth. And we live in a day where there is a great drought of truth. People take God's word and they adjust it to fit what they want. They adjust it to mean something other than what God's original intent. And so we have tried to study, to show ourselves approved, and to bring the truth. Now the truth is, again, it's not a wanted thing sometimes. It's not a welcome thing. People like the lie. And so we have tried very hard with love and mercy and grace to share the truth. Now through our radio ministry here at Light of the Word, our sermons have actually been heard, not just in those five areas where they're going out on the radio, but through other medias, they have been heard in over 40 other countries and every state in this country, which really blows us away. We are amazed at what God does and how God does it. But when it comes to His truth, there is no obstacle for Him to overcome that is too great. And so He has used this little ministry. Now this ministry is completely listener supported. If God has laid upon your heart to give, Pastor Eugene at the end of this will give you the information you need to send in a donation. But whether you send it in or not, as long as God has called us to do it, we know that He will provide. And as long as He wants us to do it, we will continue to do this. One of the things that has been a blessing to us is those who have come alongside us. When we first started this radio ministry. Actually, let me just back up a little further than that. It wasn't but maybe a year or so ago that I personally was still using a cassette player and pushing record and play at the same time to record my messages that needed to be recorded for those who might be missing church. And then God sent a young man into our church who began to help us to upgrade our equipment. Well, that was working very well, but the radio ministry requires some additional things that we did not have. And by the grace of God, he raised someone up who has purchased some equipment for us that we could upgrade our speeds and our quality by leaps and bounds over what it was. And so we've been blessed in that way. We've also been blessed with those who have become a part of Light of the Word Radio. We have pastors here in Northeast Kansas. We have a pastor from Missouri, from Wellsville, Missouri. We have a pastor from Oklahoma. We have a pastor from Western Kansas that are all a part of this radio ministry. I appreciate that because that does several things. It gives accountability to what is being preached. And it also gives insight of other men that God has used to preach truth. So that has been a great blessing to me. One of those men who has come alongside of us is an author and pastor, Dr. Paul E. Barkey. Now, Brother Paul has graciously given us some books to give to you when you make a donation of any size and ask for his book on this day in church history. Now, I have with me some of his other books today. I wanted to read just a piece or two out of each of these two books I have with me. The first one is out of On This Day in American History. Now, these are daily devotionals. This is August 19th. It says Old Ironside. Starts with scripture here. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." That's 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then it goes on with the devotion. It tells a little piece of history here. It says, on August 19th, 1812, the U.S. frigate Constitution, Old Ironside, defeated the British ship Guerriere, 600 miles east of Nova Scotia. The commander of the Constitution was Commodore Isaac Hull. For over an hour, the two ships maneuvered and sparred with one another, and finally set about to fight at close range. After 20 minutes of cannon fire, the mizzenmast of the British ship fell, and shortly afterward, her two remaining masts went overboard. In the midst of the battle, a seaman observed the British shot bounced off the side of the Constitution and shouted, "Huzzah! Her sides are made of iron." Thus, the Constitution received the moniker Old Ironsides. The Americans had 14 casualties and the British 79. The Guerriere was sunk, and her crew brought aboard the Constitution. It was a great victory for the American Navy, but also was an encouragement and rallying point for the nation during a time of the War of 1812 when everything had been going the way of the British. Congress awarded Hull a special gold medal, and other officers silver medals, and the crew a $50,000 prize. Before the War of 1812 was over, the Constitution had also defeated the HMS Java and captured eight more British ships. The Constitution was one of six frigates authorized for construction by the Naval Act of 1794 and the oldest commissioned ship in the world and still in service of the U.S. Navy. She was built in the shipyard of Boston and is now at rest in Boston Harbor, where she is maintained by a crew of 55 sailors who open the ship daily to visitors. Two times in her storied history, Ironsides was threatened, not by enemy vessels, but by the scrap heap. In 1830, the Navy determined that Old Ironside was no longer worthy of the sea and was prepared to scrap her. There was a tremendous public outcry, and the publication of the poem Old Ironsides by Oliver Wendell Holmes encouraged Congress to appropriate funds for her repairs. She continued her sea duty throughout the world until she was decommissioned in 1882. Once again facing the scrap heap, the donation of school children and patriotic groups paid for her restoration in 1925. Today, Old Ironside remains an icon of American spirit. Good to establish physical reminders of what God has done for us. In the case of the Ebenezer Stone, which Samuel set up, parents were to bring their children to the stone and relate to them all that God had done in the past for their ancestors and how God had intervened in the life of his people. Ebenezer means stone of help. As Americans, we have a number of Ebenezer stones, which are reminders of God's hand in helping and establishing our nation. It is good for us to take our children to them and to share rich spiritual heritage that tells them of God's help for America. What a wonderful daily devotion. That was August 19th out of On This Day in American History. The second book is 40 Prayers That Changed America and Those Who Prayed. This is a prayer by Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. He's a World War I ace. And this is his prayer. O Lord, I thank Thee for the strength and blessing Thou hast given me. And even though I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I feared no evil. For Thy rod and Thy staff comforted me, even into the four corners of the world. I have sinned, O Lord, but through Thy mercy Thou hast shown the light of Thy saving grace. I pray to God every night of my life to be given the strength and the power to continue my efforts to inspire in others the interest, obligation, and responsibilities that we owe to this land for the sake of our future generations, for my boys and girls, so that we can always look back when the candle of life burns low and say, thank God, I have contributed my best to the land that contributed much to me. It's a really neat book about the prayers that changed America. And you know, yours and my prayers today can change America. We need to stand for this nation. There are so many who would tear down our history. There are so many who would wipe God from the face of this nation. But we, the people of God, those who love the Lord Jesus because He loved us first, we will stand and share what God has done for this nation. Again, I thank you, and may God bless you, and may God bless America.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also ask about helping to support this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. Remember, as Pastor Jim said, we would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. It's another devotion like the one that Pastor Jim read for us, and is yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you will join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. And on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.